the lesson tonight is quite simple. I think that the truth that I'll teach you, it's amazing how more and more every day you see the need of the Bible in our society. This is lesson number 28 on the subject of helping people. I want you to take your Bible and turn to 3 John. 3 John, there's only one chapter in 3 John. I want you to find verse number 9. 3 John, verse number 9. 3 John, verse number 9. Once you find it, would you stand with me, please? I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. If you'll look back at me, though, let me tell you the title of the sermon. We're going to talk about helping people by preventing malice. By preventing malice. The word malice is not one that you hear a lot today, but the behavior of malice is still very, very evident. It's still real. It's still here. And as I begin to describe to you the Bible term malice, I think you'll recognize its behavior being very evident in today's society. Helping people by preventing malice. 3 John, look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Now, stop right there. Look back at me. The word malicious, that has the root word malice in it. Let's go back. It says, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Help the simple lesson to help us. God, there's not a whole lot I could do about someone else behaving with malice in their heart or in their life, but there's an awful lot that I could do about me. So I pray, God, tonight that I would search my heart. I pray that I would not have this thing called malice in my behavior. Please, Spirit of God, control this meeting. Help us to leave here tonight having learned something that will guard us from hurting people and hurting you, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, we see God is referring to a man by the name of Diotrephes. He's warning the church about this man named Diotrephes because of Diotrephes' behavior. In other words, God said, and I can't imagine this, God himself said, hey, you got a guy in your church, and his name is Diotrephes, and he's a troublemaker. Now, when God pins you or pegs you, that's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal. And I think then, if God is warning that church of this man Diotrephes and his behavior, I think that if we've seen someone behaving the way Diotrephes was behaving, that we too would be good to be warned. Let me show you a little bit. If you still have your Bible open there, let me show you a little bit about Diotrephes, and pay attention if you will. Let me show you. It uses the words there. It says about Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence. Now, this is describing to us Diotrephes. Diotrephes wanted to be heard. He wanted to be, I think Diotrephes, first of all, was first in his life, but he also wanted to be first in somebody else's life. Desire for self-attention, if you will. So God is describing the man that he just said, watch out, this guy's trouble. He uses the term, who loveth to have the preeminence. Next, it says, he receiveth us not. Diotrephes was not receiving the spiritual leadership of the time. He was rejecting spiritual leadership. That the writer of this portion of the Bible said, Diotrephes rejects me as a leader. A Diotrephes get around leaders, but they reject the leader's leadership. Be careful in your heart. You can reject spiritual leadership as well. So, Diotrephes, he loves to have the preeminence. He doesn't receive spiritual leadership well. Bennett uses the words prating against us with malicious words. Now, that means his words were words with the intent to hurt. He practices character assassination, and it's somebody else being assassinated. The use of words, he uses words to cause people to doubt someone else. He was using words to hurt. Now, it also uses words about Diotrephes here. It says he's not content. In other words, he's discontent, I think, with who gets credit. He wanted preeminence and he didn't have it, so he was very discontent that somebody else was getting attention and he was not. He was discontent with his spiritual leader because the Bible said, the spiritual leader said, Diotrephes rejects me, so there's discontentment. He wasn't content and he was letting it be known. Now, so what's God's answer to this man named Diotrephes? In 3 John, verse 11, it says, Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. Now, God is saying, I want you to do good to people. Diotrephes is not doing good to people. And God said, you need to be careful not to follow someone that's not doing good to people. Look, if you find out a leader is malicious and you find out a leader is out to hurt people, that's not a good leader to be following. Notice the word, though. It uses the word in that passage that we read. It talks about him being malicious. Now, the word malicious has in it that root word malice. Now, that's the subject of tonight. We're going to talk about helping people by preventing malice in our life. So we look at malice. Malice is a sin. It's where we get the word malicious. If someone said they were malicious toward me, that means they were practicing malice. And you and I were told by God not to be like Diotrephes. He was a man of malice. He was malicious in his behavior. The word malice is used a lot in the Bible. It's not a real popular word today. You don't hear it used a lot. But again, the behavior is very obvious in today's society. Now, we're gonna break the word down. We're going to talk about it a little bit because we're trying to learn how to help people. You are not going to be a people helper if you have malice in your life. Malice hurts. The absence of malice means probably the presence of good. We were told to be good to people, but not to have malice toward people. First of all, I'll start out by saying this. Number one, what is malice? What is it? Okay. 3 John, verse number 10, it says, Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words. Here it talks about this practice of malice had something to do with his words. Now, it's obvious, it's not positive words, so that's self-evident. Remember this, in Luke 6:45, the Bible tells us this, A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Diotrephes had malice in his heart, and it was coming out of his mouth. A person of malice uses their words to hurt. Malice is that condition of the heart that causes us to want to do harm to people with our words. It's virtually a naughty, an aggressive, hurtful nature toward other people. Saved people can practice malice. Lost people can be guilty of malice. Malice is a very unique behavior. Malice finds itself connected to a lot of other different misbehaviors. Jealousy and malice go together. You're jealous, so you're malice towards someone because of your jealousy. They're kind of bedfellows, if you will. They're kind of, you hear me say this from time to time, malice and jealousy are a bit like a peanut butter and jelly. They're a Jack and Jill, if you will. revenge and malice find themselves in the very same container. When you're practicing revenge, there is an element of malice, or if you're practicing malice, there could be a behavior of revenge involved in it. Hate and malice are akin. Evil and malice are akin. Gossip and malice are related. Rage and malice are related. Envy and malice are related. It's almost like, I guess it would almost be like a bicycle rim. Malice could be the hub, and you've got all these little spokes like hate, revenge, gossip. They all come off of it, but malice is in the heart, and that malice then affects a lot of other misbehaviors. You and I could have malice toward a person. You or I could have malice toward God. Malice could be present in a young person. Malice could be present in an older person. You have to ask yourself, am I guilty of malice? Deeds, words with intent to harm, plans with intent to harm, actions with intent to harm, the use of one's influence with intent to harm. People who practice malice are people herders. They've got malice in their heart, so the malice comes out their mouth. What comes out of their mouth is it has an intent to do harm. So someone that practices malice is not a people helper. And that's one reason why the Lord's answer to this, he said in 3 John 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil," speaking of Diotrephes, who had malice in his heart, "but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God." You are to do good toward God, and you're to do good toward people. So, what is malice? It starts in the heart, comes out the mouth. It has the intent to do injury to many people, or a person, or to God. Secondly, this is obvious, but it's the second point of my outline. Don't live in malice. And I'm going to explain that. It's not, maybe that statement's not as simple as what I make it out to be. Don't live in malice. Titus chapter 3, verse number 3 says, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another." Now, I said, don't live in malice. Let me explain. It's one thing to commit an act of malice. It's another thing to repeat, to commit repetitive acts of malice. For instance, everybody here, including the children, have had malice in their heart at one time or another, use words to hurt. Everybody has. We're all guilty of it. But there's a difference in you doing it once and you living. It uses the words living in malice. We have friends from Texas. They live in Texas. They're visiting North Carolina. There's a difference in visiting and living somewhere. Here it says, don't live in malice. God is not saying it's okay to visit malice, but God is saying you're a sinner. You may get a little malice in your heart. You may launch a verbal attack, and you may hurt someone, but you don't have to live there. You don't have to live there. One act of malice could lead to two acts of malice. Two acts of malice then could lead to three acts of malice. And before long, you're living a malice lifestyle. I've met people, maybe you have, people that they hardly can say anything to anybody without criticizing, without tearing down, without being negative about somebody or something. They live there. Hey, and they wear you out. I don't like to be around people that are that way all the time. In a little while, I'll get to that. But when I say don't live in malice, at first glance you say, well, surely we shouldn't. But there are people that actually, that's how they live their life. Some have formed a sinful habit of malice, and they're guilty not of an act of malice, but of repetitive acts of malice. And so, we've got to be careful that we don't let it happen to us. Now, you say, well, what is the cure for malice? I'm glad we've got a book that not only tells us of the disease, it tells us of the cure. Okay, let me tell you what I found. I'm studying this thing of malice. First of all, one of the cures to help ourselves with malice is this. This at first sounded silly to me, but here's the answer. Be as a child. Be as a child. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be ye children." I got to thinking about that, and I said, "Now, Lord, I really do need to understand that, because there's got to be something really good right there, and I really, every once in a while, I got to have something decent to say from the pulpit, if I could." And so I got to looking at that, and this is what I think the Lord means. Remember, he said, in your understanding, don't act like a kid. But when it comes to malice, be you as a child. When we all know how quickly malice is taken from the heart of a child. For instance, second graders can be on the playground at school and get in a fight at 9 o'clock. By 9:20, those two second graders can be best friends. Try that with two 40-year-olds. The older you get, maybe the more the potential for the malice to stick. What God is saying, be as a child in regard to malice. Now, let me really help you. Children are quick to forgive. Children are not keeping an account book. Adults do. Well, you hurt me on this, and you hurt me on that, and you hurt me on this, and you hurt me on that, and this was a level 10 hurt, and this was a level 9 hurt, and this was a level 8 hurt. Children don't do that. Children hurt for a minute, blow their sack, and say, "Let's go play. You want a bite? Yeah, bite of my candy bar?" If you want the cure for malice, be as a child. Be quick to forgive. Don't hang on like adults tend to want to. Be quick. Okay, I would be quick to get things right between you and a spiritual leader, like a pastor, or your husband, or a wife, or a parent, or a teacher. Let's be childlike in our dealing with our own malice. And just so you all know, the choice is yours. If you're bitter, it's because you choose to be. If you're angry, it's because you choose to be. You could stop right now if you wanted to. So, "Oh, I can't control it." Then God's a liar. And God's not a liar. If you're not careful, though, if you hang on to it, the longer you hang on to it, the deeper that malice gets rooted in you and the harder it is to shake it. You may end up not having an act of malice, but a lifestyle of malice. Malice is virtually someone's fermented plans to poison or hurt. "I'll get you." And remember, it's got revenge in there and hate and unforgiveness. Be as a child. Forgive quickly. You know, can I tell you something? Husbands and wives, we can get competitive in our pride. You know, I tell you where you ought to be competitive. See who can forgive the quickest. Okay, what is the cure for this thing that God warns us so heavily about, this thing called malice? Be as a child. Secondly, be full of kindness and be full of tenderness, or tender-heartedness, if you will. Let me show you the scripture. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32, it says this: "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now, you see how all those are kind of connected to malice again. It's like that. It's the hub, and you've got all these little spokes: bitterness and wrath and clamor and evil speaking and everything. So he said, let all bitterness be put away from you. And then it says, And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted. You say, I need to cure my malice. I need to make sure that it's a one-time act of malice rather than repetitive malice. I want to make sure I'm not living a malice lifestyle. Then you need to behave like a child. Take care of it quickly. Get it over with. Don't stew on it. Secondly, be full of kindness and be full of tenderheartedness. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted. Practice tenderness with people. Forgive when people hurt you. And that's the kind thing to do. Look, moms have been trying to teach children for centuries to be kind. Be kind to your brother. Be kind to your sister. You want to know why? Because mother knew you would grow up and be married someday. And she was kind of hoping you'd be kind to your wife. And that you'd be kind to your husband. You'd be kind to your neighbor. Forgive when people hurt you. Forgive when people offend you. Forgive when people trespass against you. It's the kind thing. You know, folks, sometimes you have to work at being tender. And you have to work at being kind. The harder you get, the heavier the grip malice has on your heart. You know, every once in a while, God will come along and break somebody's heart. It probably wasn't the issue of the broken heart as much as it was God trying to get the heart to the point that it was tender again. So how do I help myself with this thing called malice? How do I keep myself from having a malice lifestyle? You got to behave like a child in regard to malice. You've got to fill your life full of kindness and tender-heartedness. Thirdly, the Bible teaches you're going to have to work at loving properly. You have to work at loving properly. Colossians chapter 3, let me read a verse to you. Colossians 3:8, it says, but now ye also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice. Later on, as you get into that verse, it talks about the love of Christ. But he said, you're going to fix malice, you better learn to love. You notice it? You want to fix malice, forgive like a child forgives. You want to fix malice, you better learn to be kind. You better learn to be tender-hearted. Do you get what God, you understand why God was so upset with Diotrephes? Diotrephes was mean. He was a person that used his words to hurt people. He didn't forgive quickly. Diotrephes evidently had taken on some sort of a grudge, and he was letting it control him all day long. The way he acted, the way he talked toward people, he had vengeance in his heart and in his words. And God said, you want to stay away from that. Stay away from that. We got to learn to love properly. The Bible said there in Colossians 3:8, it said, put off malice. And then it said, put on love. Malice is a sign of a lack of love. Love, you say, well, what should I do? Love the person that you are aiming your malice at. You say, what? Well, see, that's your problem. Haven't you heard? You're supposed to love people. But they hurt me. Okay. Good thing Jesus didn't act that way. Or you'd be in hell right now. Where malice is, love is not. And where love is, malice is not. Love the person you're trying to hurt. Learn to love your enemy. If you'll love God properly, it will keep you from having malice even toward God someday. Have you ever heard someone that's angry with God and they'll say things against him and try to hurt him? What's happened? They've got a grudge somewhere against God. Love God's children. Love God. So, if I want the cure for malice, I have to behave like a child. In other words, I've got to quickly remove it. I got to quickly get this thing right between me and someone. Secondly, I've got to practice kindness and tender-heartedness toward the person that's the object of my malice. Next, I have to love properly. Because where love is, malice is not. To whatever degree you love, you're not guilty of malice. But to whatever degree there is malice in your life, there's an absence of love in your life. What else do we do? Next, I believe this, and I love this scripture. People, Christians, who are guilty of malice have got to get back to a basic relationship with your Bible. Now, I want you to pay attention. Get back to a basic relationship with your Bible. Listen to 1 Peter chapter 2. It's verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice," there's the word we're looking for, and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, "as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." Notice it said, get rid of the malice. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to become like a baby Christian again and love the Word of God. You know how babies love milk? About like fathers love chocolate milk. Babies love their milk. They want that milk. That's precious to them. If you're a Christian, and if there is malice in your life, the heavier that malice is, there, I believe, is an absence of a love for the root teachings of the Word of God. You say, well, I have malice. I have malice toward my wife. I have malice toward my husband. I have malice toward my grown child. I have malice toward another Christian. Okay. Then do you love the part of the Bible that says, love your enemies? Do you love some of the, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you? It is so cute to see a little four-year-old stand up and quote that verse. They say, be ye kind one to another. We say, oh, that is so cute. God said, you're a Christian and you're an adult and you have malice. You need to go back to understanding you're to be kind. And you're to go back to an understanding that you're to love people. And you're to go back to the simple, basic Bible truth of being good to people. You don't need any powerful exegesis of the Old Testament scripture from some doctor that's got 50,000 degrees. You need just to simply get your heart right with God, get back in the Bible, and let God tell you you're to love, you're to be kind, you're to be gentle, you're to be tender, and you're to treat people right. So if you want to get away from malice, you need to get back to a very simple truth of the Word of God. Like a baby needs milk, you need the simplest of the truths from the Word of God. You're out to hurt somebody. That's childlike. When we were children, we were told not to behave that way. We were told when we were just tall enough to walk, you don't talk to your brother that way. You don't talk to your sister that way. You don't treat your friend that way. Here we are, grown adults, and we're doing the very same thing. God said, go back to the basics. Go back to the milk of the Word. Go back, get your nose back in the Bible, and it's probably time for you to memorize a couple verses about love again. You may have stopped growing. A heart full of God's Word will help root out the malice. So, what are we working toward? God said, you want to fix malice? You're going to have to act like a child. You got to forgive like a child forgives, get it over with, and want to be friends. Want to get along. Be full of kindness. Be full of tenderheartedness. Learn to love. To whatever degree you love, malice won't enter in. Get back to the milk, the simple, basic truths for a Christian. Then, next, Ephesians 4:31 tells us to get away from malice. Get away from it. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There it is. Put it away. What's it mean? Get it out of your heart. Separate from it. I you know, what's really hard is I could preach for 45 minutes on malice, and then someone here will walk away and say, I don't have malice. I just have revenge. It's not malice. I just have a grudge. Call it what you want. The behavior that you're practicing is indicative of the Bible sin called malice. But get it out of your heart. Separate from it. Then, could I recommend this? If you're having struggles with malice, you might want to not spend a whole bunch of time around somebody else that struggles with malice. You know, if you get around somebody that has malice, and they have malice, you're going to have a mess on your hands. If you're not living
malice, but you have committed an act of malice, and you get around someone that's living it, they will influence you to begin to live it. They'll justify it. 3 John 11, it says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God." It says, follow not. Don't follow others who practice malice. So, what's he telling you? Get away from malice. Get it out of your heart. Be careful spending time with somebody that is behaving with malice. Look, if you say, boy, I'm starting to get mad at somebody, I'm starting to get angry with him, I'm beginning to feel some hate and revenge to build up in my heart toward them. And then you go to work, and there's some woman you sit with at lunch, and all she does is rag on her husband, and how bad, and how nasty, and all of that. Well, I've got news for you. She might as well just go ahead and throw some gasoline on your fire to help you to self-destruct and behave in malice. You say, well, I don't run with friends that do drugs and get drunk. You might want not run with friends that practice malice and revenge and gossip and hate. I want to get away from malice. This thing of getting away from it, I get it out of my heart. I stay away from others that would add to the potential of my malice by unifying with them and hearing and watching their behavior. But also this. If you have malice in your heart towards someone, probably you think they hurt you, and maybe they did. Now, I said two things there. You think they hurt you, or maybe they did. Okay? If you don't want to have malice in your heart, because there are people in here who say, I have malice in my heart, and I'm going to tell you why. Now you think it's okay. You think it's okay because of what caused it. God's not talking about what caused it. He doesn't talk about what caused it. Talks about you and not practicing it. But if you have malice in your heart, probably you think somebody did something to you or they did do something to you. Can I tell you something? If you don't want to have malice, if I were you, I'd stop thinking about the hurt. Stop pondering that which seems to be triggering this wrong behavior. Say, I woke up this morning, that's all I thought about. I woke up yesterday, that's all I thought about. Well, could I recommend you think about something else? See, every time there's a little tiff, it goes back to that. We were right back to that. Is that right there? That's the thing right there. I'm over it. I'm out of it. Stop reliving that which tended to trigger your misbehavior of malice. Did you know that no matter how long you think about what they did to you, it won't change it? It won't change it. You say, well, I want to have malice toward them. Go ahead. I'll get them with my malice. If you have malice toward me right now, tonight, I'm going home, have some ice cream, and going to sleep. Your malice can't destroy me. There's only one person you can destroy with your malice. It's you. So, if you just revisit it, and revisit it, and revisit it, and think about it. Now, again, maybe they hurt you, but don't self-destruct with malice. Maybe you think they hurt you. Whatever the case. Remember how we talked, I used the term, don't live in malice? You're apt to live in malice if you live constantly thinking about what triggered the malice. It's like anchoring yourself down. Let's move on. One more point. Next, don't let malice in the heart come out of the mouth. Don't let malice that is in the heart come out of the mouth. And this is part of the cure. You know, it's possible that someone can have malice towards someone else, but the object not even know it's there. God said, I really don't want you hurting people. Diotrephes had malice in his heart, and he was slanderous in his words. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Now, what's he saying? If you've got malice in there, you know, you could not let it come out of your mouth. I've had malice in my heart towards someone. I am really glad that I didn't attack them. The root was there. I'm glad I stopped it at the root. I had that nasty feeling on the inside. But I didn't let it affect my hands. I didn't let it affect my mouth. So I did salvage myself to a degree. I was trying to put a stop to the malice coming out. See, if malice has crept into your heart, can I recommend? Get it out of your heart. But if it's crept into your heart, don't let it come out any other way, unless you're just repenting of it. Stop it. Don't let it come out. The words themselves are very, very damaging. I hear people every once in a while say, "Well, I'll just tell you what's on my mind." That could be very filthy, and you don't mean that because you don't tell everybody everything you think. You choose what you tell people, even when you're giving us a piece of your mind. And a few of you shouldn't do that because you don't have much to share. I hear people say, I'm just one that speaks my mind, and I'm just going to say whatever is in my mind or in my heart. The Bible says your heart is very evil. And if everybody went around saying everything that ever went into their mind or ever was in their heart, this world will be in far better, worse shape. So let me tell you something. If you get some hate in your heart, let it stop there. It doesn't have to come out in your hands. It doesn't have to come out in your mouth. It doesn't have to come out in your texting. It doesn't have to come out in your emails. It doesn't have to come out when you're blogging. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, it shouldn't be in your heart anyway. But could I recommend, if it's going to be in your heart, that you stop it there and not go hurt somebody with it? You want to self-destruct with that evil malice in your heart? Okay, but why should you hurt somebody else? And God's interested in protecting people. God's interested in being good to people. Malice in your heart hurts you. Malice out of your mouth, you've now hurt two people. You get it? Malice in my heart hurts me. Malice out my mouth hurts me. And you. God said, watch out. This thing called malice. Malice was such a powerful misbehavior. God names a guy in the church named Diotrephes. Says this guy's got malice in his heart. Stay away from him. He's bad news. You know how rare it is God tells you to stay away from? I mean, specifically say stay away from that right there. Malice is it's a bad sin. And we need to be careful that we don't practice it. You know, hey, and get this. You say, I don't like people when they practice malice toward me. Well, just as distasteful as it is when it's practiced towards you, it is distasteful when you practice it toward someone else. And so, what's the answer? I'll remind you and then we'll be done. How are we going to help ourselves with malice? We're going to forgive quickly, like a child would. We're going to practice kindness and tenderness. We're going to love, and especially the object of our malice. We're going to make sure that we get back to the basic Bible truths, the milk of the Word, and how Christians are supposed to behave. We get away from malice. In other words, we push it away from us. We stay away from others that are practicing malice, and we don't live with the trigger that seems to bring that malice back into our thinking. And then, if we have malice in our heart, we shouldn't let it come out our mouth. It shouldn't come out of our hands. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Malice. Not a word that's used a lot in this day and age. You will hear people talk about people being malicious. But you and I as Christians should not practice malice in our lives. You say, but do you know what they did to me? Do you know how they treated me? That's your problem. It's all about me, 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 me. You need to be a good Christian. Don't practice malice. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God has taught me something tonight. I not only do I see what it is, I know how to get myself out of it. I know how to stay away from it. But God has spoken to my heart about this issue of malice this evening. Would you let God see your hand and say, I needed something. Something there's going to help me. Something's going to help me. You may put those hands down. If you're not saved tonight, I want you to let us take a Bible and show you how to be born again. Be born again. God loves you. God wants you to go to heaven someday when you die. There's a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. They're real. God doesn't want you to go to hell. You will have to ignore Jesus Christ to go there because Jesus wants to save you. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're a Christian, you say, I never want malice to enter my heart. Well, you'll have to behave the way we taught you this evening. Some of you have some malice in your life. It's there. It's there. You want to call it something else. You like to soften the truth as it applies to you. But if there's malice in your heart, you need to get it taken care of. You'll self-destruct if you're not careful. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to come and say, God, help me. There's a little malice in my heart. Or maybe you just need to come and pray and say, Father, I just don't want malice in my life. I don't want it to develop in my life. Say, but you don't know what they did to me. I'm going to tell you something. Your pastor loves you, and I care that you got hurt. I'm not telling you I don't care. But what I'm telling you is we can't change what they did. And nowhere did God say, hey, whatever caused the malice, it now justifies your behavior. He's saying, let's set that aside. Let's just make sure you do right. Let's make sure you respond right. Let's make sure you're not hateful and vengeful and mean. Let's make sure you're not using your words to attack and assassinate people's character. Get rid of that malice. Remember, your having malice does not assure the destruction of anything except yourself. Except yourself.